CPR 101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. Well, September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, and prostate cancer is among one of the more common cancers, especially for men in the United States. But lately, reading the news, as usual sometimes, can be very confusing for patients because as one study comes out and says one thing, another study conflicts the next thing. So we are lucky to have an expert here to help sort it out for us, Dr. Anup Shah. He is a urologic surgeon who practices in the Baltimore metropolitan area at Chesapeake Urology Associates. So welcome, Dr. Shah. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. It's quite an honor.
So let's talk about this. I guess the Preventive Task Force had come out a couple years ago and it said, you know, think about this PSA screening, you know, what should you do in the past? You know, we tell people, you know, people hear cancer, catch it early, screen. And now it seems like it's confusing. And then even when you have it, I want to touch on a little bit later, should you treat it? Should you not? I mean, so tell us a little bit about the recommendations right now if you're a man, you know, say 50 years old. What are you telling patients?
So right now, depending on which guideline you go to, the recommendations are clearly different. The most of the recent recommendations are based on two articles that are the quintessential articles that were published in New England Journal of Medicine in 2008. And these looked at large trials held over large demographics and populations, looking at whether PSA screening really leads to prostate cancer prevention of death. Now, there's been a lot of debate about these articles based on the quality of the data that was provided. Now, one of the articles that the USPS, United States Preventive Task Force, referenced had data that was concerning to many urologists. And one thing that concerned them was that almost 52% of the men that were in the quote-unquote non-screened arm actually underwent PSA testing, and so that's a contamination of the data, and that the people you're considering not getting screened are actually getting PSA screening. Maybe that would be underestimating the difference in survival that you're detecting. And so I think that we need to look at these data with a with a fine-tooth comb, and really have an honest and frank discussion between the patient and their doctor, the patient and the urologist, the primary care doctor, to really look at the patient globally in terms of their overall health, their overall age, and whether the PSA testing really makes sense for them. I think no one argues with the fact that PSA does save lives. A simple blood test, a rectal examination, can be a curative thing for these patients, and I think that it's the American Urologic Association's position, as well as members in my group, Chesapeake Urology, that this is a clearly beneficial thing for the patients that we treat.
Right. And if you think about it, I mean, we have been seeing the incidence of metastatic prostate cancer decrease in the United States over the last several decades. Isn't that true? If you're really...
Absolutely. You know, when we're looking at prostate cancer deaths, there's a clear delineation that we're seeing in what we call the pre-PSA era compared to the post-PSA era. And that PSA screening has been a dramatic lifesaver for patients with prostate cancer. And there's no doubt about it that early detection, early screening saves prostate cancer lives. And this is a highly curable disease when detected early. And in fact, even when it's caught early, treatment, as you alluded to, may not necessarily be the best option for many patients. Many patients can be adequately maintained on a surveillance protocol to make sure that the cancer is not becoming more aggressive. What the purpose here is to save patients the side effects and morbidity of treatment until they really need to do so. And some patients may never get there.
And that's you bring up an interesting point. And I know for women too, there's a kind of a similar analogous argument, you know, with breast and these carcinomas in situ and these benign things. It's very hard for individuals to hear the word there's cancer somewhere in them and to say, you know, sometimes less is better. But particularly for men, you know, each therapy has a benefit and risk, and there are some, you know, very serious, if you talk to men, I mean, with women, you're just talking about, okay, you overdo it, you take off a whole breast for an in situ that might not have spread, but that's one thing. But men can have, you know, erectile dysfunction, incontinence. I mean, most men, that's a pretty serious side effect from maybe doing too much.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think while all the treatments have gone better, both radiation and surgery for prostate cancer, you know, mostly the clinical side effects, what hasn't really changed very much is quality of life that we're leaving the patients with. Some of these treatments can have a profound impact on patients' quality of life, and that's the reason why we shouldn't be over-treating patients when it doesn't really have a clear clinical benefit for their longevity and overall health. You know, breast cancer, as you mentioned, has been such an excellent paradigm for we as urologists to look up to. They've had incredible research in terms of using hormone profiles and looking at the actual receptors on the cancer itself to see whether they can benefit from drugs and modulate the hormonal milieu of the body. And they've also done incorporated gene testing into their national guidelines. To risk stratify patients, determine which treatment is the best for them. And we as urologists are doing the same thing now. We've got many different products out there that actually analyze the genetic profile of the cancer itself to really say that not every apple is an apple. You may get a riskier cancer that behaves as a low-risk type of cancer, and that patient is someone that you want to think more heavily about treating. But also it helps us as doctors determine which patients would really benefit from watching or surveying the cancer as opposed to aggressively treating them and leaving them with side effects that can definitely hurt their both sexual and urinary quality of life.
So just briefly for people, so you have a patient coming in and you believe that they should get screened, and then if something is suspicious, just quickly walk us through, we only have a couple minutes, the next steps of what you would recommend for them.
Absolutely. You know, I would take into account the patient's overall health status and their life expectancy. Assuming that they've got a good life expectancy of on the order of 10 to 15 years, they'd benefit from early detection of prostate cancer for potential treatment. And really the best way that's been approved to detect prostate cancer still remains a prostate biopsy. People are looking into alternate diagnostic tests such as MRI, MRI and other diagnostic imaging, but really doing a prostate biopsy is the next step to obtain actual tissue for the pathologist to look at and to determine whether this is cancer or not. After that step remains the real question in terms of how to risk stratify these patients in terms of whether they've got a good chance of disease progression and ultimately potentially dying from their disease. And I think that the majority of cancers that we're seeing, that we're detecting, are the low-risk type that can be watched. But occasionally we do get the higher volume, higher grade, or more aggressive cancers where we'd recommend either pursuing further imaging to see whether the cancer has progressed outside the prostate or discussing active treatment for these patients.
So, yeah, that is very good to know, and it's true. It's very hard for individuals when they hear the word cancer to be able to, you know, step back, you know. But I once wrote a piece for HuffPost that sometimes even with breast cancer, less is more. So it's something that we have to think about. I want to thank my guest for coming on. It's been very interesting. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Van Oker on Radio MD. Stay well and tune into your health.